We are coming to the end of our book, Fiery Faith, a collection of writings by A.W. Tozer. And it has been a challenge to our faith to keep us fiery. It's a fiery faith. We need to have that passion. And interestingly enough, I'm talking about not passion tonight at the beginning. But our review is brief, just to remind us that we are saved by grace through faith, fiery faith that God provides. It is not something we can do, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. God draws us. God is the reason we're saved. We didn't come down the aisle and make our own decision. God drew us. And it's not as a result of any works, not how much money we give, how often we attend, how much we read our Bibles, how thoroughly we study our Bibles. None of that is what saves us. What saves us is the faith that God gives us, that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin, that we, as God's creatures, are sinners. He created us for a relationship with Him, but we fall short, and we need to turn to Him for His salvation, for His provision for our sin. Our penalty is totally paid, and now we need to walk in faith. Fiery faith, that's what we're talking about. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 kind of sets that foundation from which we will talk about our faith. And Hebrews 11, again, is a foundational place to start for faith. Hebrews 11, the beginning says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that that which is seen was not made out of things which are visible." We look at this world, we can't replicate it. Science cannot recreate what we have. We take it on faith that God created it. That is the assurance that we have that God is in control. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." So we must have it firmly settled in our mind that He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him. So, we have spent very many weeks going through lots of very interesting things, and next week we're going to sum it all up, and I will leave the summing all up to next week. I'm going to just charge ahead with the hard issues of faith that we have for tonight. And we just have two hard issues of faith tonight, which is nice because they are kind of linked, thankfully. That's nice. But dry spell is the first one. And so, you know, one of the first things we do is go look for a definition. Dry spell. Well, it's when it's dry. Arid. No water. And water in the Bible is the source of life. It is necessary for human beings to exist. It was part of creation. It's part of sustaining us. It's everywhere. So if we feel dry, that's a problem. Our author, Tozer, has said that dry spell is an emotional desert. It's a lacking of interest or feeling. It's being lifeless and dull. Our heart feels distant from God. Joy fades out and the presence of the Lord is felt feebly or not at all. It is occasional. It is unpredictable. It is inexplicable. And it is common, meaning that it's not unique, meaning that it doesn't happen all the time, but people experience this. And what are some causes of this dry spell? Well, one of the causes can simply be sin, that we have sin in our life, that God is taking us through a dry patch to get our attention, to get us turned back to Him. I went looking a couple other places because our chapter was fairly short on this. And I also found that there wasn't universal agreement on this particular issue. But if you think there are dry spells, some of the causes are sin, Sometimes you're in pain. If you look at the Psalms, David is crying out often for the refreshing water of God in, because of emotional, physical, or mental pain. He's being chased by someone. He's sinned in a particular way. A lot of things can happen to us to cause us to feel distant from God, to have that dry spell. Another way this is possible to have a dry spell is that God allows us to sort of drift before he's going to do something extraordinary in our life that only God could do. And thankfully, God gives us the solution for our dry spells. The solution is in the Word of God. And that is very, very comforting. So the solution for our dry spell is reminding ourselves that we are not to live by faith based on our feelings. If you feel distance from God, guess who moved? It was not God. So we need to go forward in faith. God promises us that he is there and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We just read that already. We believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we need to seek him. And you can't depend on how you're feeling to keep reading in the Word. You need to continue your reading of the Word because that's how he is going to speak to you. In addition, you want to be in the Word. You want to be in prayer, going to God. I mean, the Psalms are full of David going to God in prayer and asking for that refreshing water. We need to be in fellowship. Right now, we've got a little physical distancing going on, so it's a little more difficult to fellowship, but we find ways to fellowship. Reach out to someone. Ask them to pray for you, to pray with you. Tell them you're in a dry spell and ask them if they've had one and how they got through it. Examine your heart for the sin, if there is sin. Don't assume there's sin, but examine your heart to see if there is sin. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Yeah. Do you have that? You want to... Yeah. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. He promises that he will lead us. And so we just need to go to him. Does somebody have that? Did I do it halfway close? Chris.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting way.
So we ask God to help us know what that problem is in our life that we need to turn from. And then we have to obey. Take the next right step. Do the next right thing and allow God to bring the feelings later. He will restore you to the joy of your salvation if you have fallen away from that for a time. So we're going to look at some scripture on these things that we have just talked through. First meaning 1 John 1:9. This one is one of those key foundational concepts. Sally, you have that?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So if we think there's that hidden sin out there, we can take it to the Lord and we can say, we are sorry for it and we want to be clean. And he promises that he will do so. We can depend on that promise that his forgiveness is forever. And he died on the cross for all of our sins when we become a believer, past, present, and future. And we can rest in that. So we get rid of our sin as a cause for a dry spell by remembering that he has died for that sin. It is taken care of, and it is under the blood. Then Matthew 16:24, Judy?
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
I believe this is the verse that Tozer referred to in the book. If anyone wills, is another translation of this. If anyone wills to come to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like it would be just a really joyful thing to take up your cross and follow. That sounds like something that needs to be done just like out of obedience and putting one step and one foot in front of the other and taking your steps. Taking up your cross daily doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So it's not always going to be a happy situation. I talked to someone in the last couple of weeks about the difference between being happy and being joyful. The joy of the Lord is in our souls because he put it there as a result of our salvation. Happiness is how we are with our current circumstances sometimes. I'm not happy about not being able to go visit my family in Kansas City because of this silly virus, but I still have the joy of the Lord deep down in my heart. So it is a will, it is a choice, it is something we do because God is drawing us to do it. We deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. We don't depend on whether we feel like it. It doesn't say, if you feel like following me, then you can take up your cross if you want. It's a command. So.
Or you can follow him without taking up your cross.
No. They do go together. Thank you. And then to remember in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. You don't have to turn there. It's a key that we take our next step based on believing that that's what God has for us to do. We can't always see that that's the right thing to do. But if he tells you that's what you need to do, you do the next right thing. Walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling, not by meditation. Coming into one with the universe to decide what to do next. No, you walk by faith by believing that God will direct you.
And oftentimes people, what they see is frightening and they don't want to. So it's not by what you don't do it because of what you see, you do it because of what you, because of faith, and you know that God is there.
Christians throughout church history have had to do that, take that next step into something that looked really frightening. And sometimes we have too. Then in John 4, this is sort of a switch to the concept of a dry spell, being arid, and God promises to be the refreshment, always. So John 4:13-14, you have that, Rita?
Sure. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water, springing up to eternal life."
So he promises a well of water springing up to eternal life when we become a believer. So if we can keep a hold of that, it's hard to have a dry spell because it's bubbling over. It's in us. His spirit, the spirit of the God who spoke the stars into existence, is in you. How can you have a dry spell? But evidently it happens. And in John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." We need to believe with all our heart that Christ is enough. He is the one who is sent for our salvation, our sanctification, our justification. In John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." So Jesus several times has made that clear, that we have that power right inside us. And the last one in John 7, Chris?
"Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified.
So we will have that, with the Spirit in us, we have the rivers of living water flowing in us. So it is a powerful reminder that God has taken care of our dry spells if we will only turn back and recognize him. Then I wanted to take a little time and look at Psalms, because Psalms is where we see David crying out for the restoration. And David saying that God provides what we need as well. So Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Judy?
How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers.
So God says through David, the psalmist, that those who are walking in delighting in the law of the Lord will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, that's nourished by that water, that's provided the life of the water to keep that tree going. In Psalm 40, we're only going to read verses 1 through 3. And, you know, David had some real things going on in his life. Being chased, being threatened with taking his life. So there were some reasons that he would feel like he was wondering where God was. So, Sally, you want to read 1 through 3, chapter 4?
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord.
So in our dry spells, we can come back to the Word and see that he is a faithful God that will even bring us out of the pit of destruction and put us back onto solid ground and return to us the song of praise to our God. So we can trust him for that. Psalm 42. Chris, you got that? Just 1 through 5.
Okay. As the deer pants for the water, brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember and pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. How far?
One more.
Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence.
So David is in trouble and in exile, and he feels like he wonders where God is, and he reaches out to him, and in his reaching out, he recognizes that he shall again praise God for his presence and his help. I'm going to skip Psalm 51. It's the Psalm of Repentance by David. Let me just read you the first middle part. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. So here's a heart reaching out of sin, reaching back for God from a dry place, from a place of sorrow. To me, sorrow is more than just a dry spell, but depending on how you define dry spell. Psalm 63. Rita, verses 1 through 5.
O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips.
So again, David in the wilderness of Judah calls out for God because he is in a dry and weary land. He's out there in the wilderness and there is nothing out there. And he knows that his God's loving kindness will bring him back and allow him to be praising him with joyful lips. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Sally?
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels, and the judgments uttered by his mouth.
So we can remember all the wonderful things God has done if we are in a dry spell and just keep our focus back on where it needs to be. And we know that God does lead us into places to turn us around. Even creating a dry spell, if we need, he needs our attention from a sinful situation. He will make a rivers into a wilderness and springs into thirsty ground. And that's Psalm 107. We're not going to go there, but he can then change them back when he wants to provide guidance for his people. He can work in our hearts by leading us in different paths. Finally, on this, let's look at Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96. Twyla, you have that?
I do. 89, the whole stanza then. Okay?
Yep.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad.
His word is settled in heaven, and his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Yet the promises of the word are so, so helpful in times of any type of distress, whether it's a dry spell or of sorrow or of fear, you can go to the Word of God and find comfort. I think that was my biggest reminder from this dry spell is chapter was be in the Word and let His Word revive you. It may not feel reviving at the moment, but feelings will come. You can trust that God is a trustworthy God and what He says is true. So the second chapter I looked at tonight was putting God first. And he called it something a little bit different, but I called it putting God first. And the point is not to think of your relationship with Christ as something you do at church or something you do at Bible study or something you do, you worship only at that specific place. Or put your emphasis on using your gift or studying really hard in the Word. Above all, this is a relationship with Jesus Christ who died for you and God the Father and the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. And getting to know the triune God is a lifelong learning journey And we have the privilege of being called to come to him in prayer, to be in his word, hear what he has to say, and to serve one another through doing it. So it's not that we put church away. It's not that we don't study. It's not that we don't go to certain places. It's that the emphasis has to be on the right syllable, not the wrong syllable. You need to put the emphasis on knowing God, knowing who he is, who he has been. And reading the word is how we start to know him. Sharing in fellowship. We go back to how you get over a dry spell. Prayer, fellowship, being in the word, and letting it sink into you. And being in worship, simply praising the Lord. And those things will help you start putting him first and not just as an adjunct to whatever else you're doing. Oh, right, I go worship the God when I go to church. I've had the opportunity for the last few weeks, months, to visit with a young woman who's a new believer, and we talked about what worship is. Worship is ascribing to God that he is worthy. And you can do that all the time, anytime, anywhere. Now, I also want to encourage her to be involved in a local church, but you can worship God through everything you do. And so this will get you out of your dry spell if you put God first. That's what I thought about the two chapters being back to back. So first of all, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Chris, do you have that?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Again, this is our foundation for this chapter. We are a new creature in Christ. The old things are gone, and we have become a new creature, and he is going to use us. He wants us to be reconciled to him. There's that personal relationship. We're not reconciled to the church. We're not reconciled to the theology. We have a relationship with the living God. And he wants us to be his ambassador and take this information to everyone so that they can also have this relationship with Christ. And it is based on the word of God. So it's not that we don't study the word of God. It's not that we don't fellowship together. It's not that we don't learn the word of God from learned teachers. But we want to concentrate on having that relationship with God and putting that first in our life in front of everything else we do. John 14, 23 gives us one of the ways we do that. Sally, do you have that?
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him.
So as we become this new creature, he wants us to keep his word. So one of the things that I've been doing a lot with my new friend is reading the word. You can't keep the word if you don't know the word. And this is where God has revealed himself to us. The other thing that gets really tempting is to start depending on experience or somebody else's experience. And you know, the internet is good, but oh, it's also really bad. You can find all sorts of strange things out there on the internet. And so they come and ask you, what about this? And you say, no, let's go back and read the word. What does the word say about who God wants to be in our lives and how he wants us to act? So we do need to know the word so that we can put him first. In Acts 17:28,
one thing before that.
Yeah.
I really like this verse because it says, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. You know, it's just emphasizing the deity and the triune God. I really like that, the way that...
The promise of the whole relationship, yeah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. And Acts 17:28, whatever we're doing, Twyla, you have that?
17:28?
Yep.
For in him we live and move and exist. As even some of our poets have said, for we also are his children.
So we are children of God. You know, my nephew has two little boys, and one of the, they just sent a video, since we can't see, you know, go be with them. And my nephew's wife, my niece-in-law, she's a gem. But anyway, she texted, and at the bottom she said, this is what happens when you can't be with your best friend. So his dad's working from home. And you see this 2.5, well, actually, it's 1.5. 1.5, yeah. Dunk, 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 dunk. Ah, ah. Dunk, 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 dunk. Ah, ah. Trying to get his dad's attention because he knows his dad is in that room working. That's how much we want to know our Father God. Da, 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 da. Come to know me. In him we live and move and have our being. So Ephesians or Philippians 4:11-13. Rita?
Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and growing hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That is, and we need to learn to be content in all our circumstances. Even when we have this physical distance, we have to be content that God has a purpose and that we can trust him for it. We can look for ways to make his will known, even in the physical distancing. Doesn't mean you just have to sit at home and not do anything. God is giving us a challenge to make him known even in these times. But we can do all things through his strength. He has given us his strength to do that. And in all we do, Colossians 3:23.
Whatever you do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men.
So when we go out about our duties, we have the incredible privilege to be an ambassador for God in everything we do. And as an ambassador, you want to put the ideas and needs and wants of that person you are an ambassador for first. You don't put your needs first, but that means you have to know the person you're representing. You have to know what they want on that particular issue when you're going to be their ambassador. So we need to know Christ so that we can adequately be his ambassador. And in everything we do, work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. So as I looked at my two chapters, fighting through those dry spells, putting God first, 1 Peter just seemed to sum it up for me, because this is just an amazing summation of what God wants to do and an expression of how great our God is. Sally, do you have that?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for salvation, a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
A couple more verses.
Oh, okay, it said seven.
Sorry.
And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul.
So that just seemed to sum it up for me, the wonderful expression of joy that we have because we are believers and that he has made himself known to us and lives inside of us and gives us this hope of salvation, this promise of being able to walk in faith and allow others to share in it as well as we share it with them. So that's what I got out of putting God first and dry spells. Comments, questions?
It might be a matter of terminology.
Definition, that's where I started.
I know. But, you know, the author said that God sometimes creates our dry spell. And I have to explain that. Because I don't think God can cause a dry spell. He can cause a trial in our life to draw us closer to him. In my mind, a dry spell is self-inflicted. I have, like you said, who's moved? God has not moved. So in my mind, I'm totally responsible for the dry spell. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that was why I had a problem with the chapter.
Because when I don't feel like I'm in communion with God, it's not because he has decided to turn his back. Now, if I have sin in my life, that's different.
And to me, that's not a dry spell.
It's not.
But
it's rebellion. Because then we're taking sin and making it not what it really is.
And it was the struggle with the chapter was trying. I did a word search in the Bible on dry spell. And I got all these water things. I did dull, and I got a few things. I did lifeless and got nothing. I mean, it's just like, it was a concept that isn't truly out of Scripture. It's an experience that people have.
Right. And that's why I think it's terminology with a lot of it. But
he wasn't looking at the fact that God is sovereign, and God brings or allows circumstances to come into our lives that may result in what we feel is a dry spell. So in that sense, God is causing them because he controls the circumstances, but that wasn't what he was.
But the other thing is he can use those for our good.
Right, and he may know a weakness in our faith for whatever reason, that in bringing us through that, our faith will grow. But it is a time we go through. I just think of a friend of mine that went through a divorce, and we talked about that very often because it was a lengthy process. And she did go to the Word, and she was praying, and we had fellowship with one another. And she just felt, and she used that word a lot, and we talked about that doesn't change your relationship with God based on how you feel about it. But the struggle was, it was a long-term thing. And those, I think, are the ones that can be especially challenging because there isn't a point of this will be fixed. In this case, you know, and I'm getting into a whole thing. At least with death, there is an end point, and then you go through the grieving process. But with divorce, I can see why people say that's even more difficult than death, because there's finding that closure is much more difficult.
Living with divorced parents for over 25 years, I can attest to that. And that's why I can't say it's a dry spell. It's a challenge to follow him day by day without what we want as emotions.
Well, some of that is, you know, we have the Bible marriages, the way most people will be. And you get married, you think it's going to be forever, and you lose what you think God has given you, and he's taken it away. And so it is, you step back. Why was he doing this to me? Almost, you know. Again, there's feelings involved, but there's also disappointment. There's all those, you know, things that, but you still, you've got to stay.
And the wrestling match, and I think everybody would agree with it, I'd way rather break my arm again than have emotional hurt. It's not like a light switch. I can take a couple of pills and my arm will feel better.
But he didn't say emotional hurt.
No.
He just said...
Yeah, I'm not supporting him. I'm just thinking.
And I do think that is... I do, yes. That's where I came up with a couple other reasons for a dry spell being personal sin, and then physical, mental, or emotional pain. If you are dealing with, let's say, 3 new joints in less than 7 months, sometimes you have some physical pain that you hadn't quite expected. But to me, that's
physical
not a
dry spell. Physical pain makes your world get little.
Yeah.
I think because it's all you can deal with. And I haven't had anything like you have, but a couple times, I just think one of the things I learned going through it with my back one time was it makes your world be very small. You have to work hard to make sure God isn't out of that.
Yep.
But it made me realize that when I am involved with other people that are going through physical pain.
And emotional pain, absolutely.
Yeah, and the emotional pain is hard because it's not like a light switch. You can't control it. You think, okay, I can deal with this, I can go on, and then wham, out of the blue comes a memory or a thought or a feeling. And it, in the long run, it's not a dry spell. But you feel like life isn't going on. And, you know, it does come down to, am I willing to let God be God, and whatever the end result is in this, I'll let God be God.
And amen.
That's where it's a growth process. So anyway.
Definitely. So this lesson was a growth process for me.
I think you make a really good point, Twyla, with the emotion, because life is okay when I can identify that I'm the problem. It's when you've got other people in your life that are creating real problems for you. And that's what David had. David had Saul wanting to kill him. And therefore he had to work through the sin of someone else affecting my life. And realizing God's sovereign, like Twyla said, is the bottom line. The believers that are losing their jobs have to understand that God has promised to protect us. I don't know how he's going to, but... Good, thank you for letting me air that out.
It's all good. You want to close this in prayer?
Sure. Lord, I just thank you for how sufficient your Holy Spirit is in our lives to equip us not to ever have to go through dry spells, but Lord, I pray that we will continue to put you first in our lives, no matter what we're going through, and that you would protect our hearts, guard our hearts and our minds to think correctly about your sovereignty and all that is going on, and yet your compassion and love for us, that we can throw all our anxieties on you because you care for us. All things that we don't deserve, and your grace is incredibly sufficient in all these things. And I pray that we would just be tremendous examples at this time of trusting in you, knowing that we are not really supposed to put any stock in things on this earth. That our goal is to, when we see you face to face, know we have done everything that you would have us to do. So whether we are here, or whether we die and go to heaven with you, Lord, I pray that we would just glorify you in everything that we say and do. Thank you for these dear ladies that want to learn more even during this time, and I pray that it will be a special blessing this week to draw upon as we deal with the world's issues and the world's responsibilities that we need to care for. In your precious name, amen.